Hi, on this week's episode of Magnify, we are joined by a dear friend of mine, Jane Randall. I'm going to say hi to the people.
Hi, people.
Hi, people. I'm going to let you intro yourself, and then I'm going to explain why I have you on, because you're not real estate based, you're not marketing agency based.
Nope.
So I wanted to explain why I have you on. So I want to give a little spiel as to who you are.
Yeah, you didn't warn me I had to do that. I am currently a social impact consultant, which means I help companies and individuals spend their money in ways that are good for the world. I have spent 20 plus years in corporate America doing corporate communications, which afforded me a lot of different opportunities, including running a cause marketing effort on domestic violence that then morphed into an international domestic violence sexual assault awareness organization called No More, nomore.org. Check it out. Had to do the plug.
Yeah. Straight away.
And then when I said I'm a social impact consultant, when I left my company in 2014, there was a big C-suite change. I ended up starting this social impact consultancy with a dear friend of mine who was the general counsel of Liz Claiborne, where we were, Robbie Karp. Karp Randall, very unique name. And yeah, so it was very interesting coming out of corporate America and starting a company.
Yeah, I was going to say that. So, you know, not really entrepreneurial before that and then into having your own business. Mm-hmm. So the reason I brought you on was because, you know, like I said, not real estate based, not marketing agency based, but you are one of the best people, if not the best networker that I know. And it comes from a place of wanting to help the people you're introducing. It's not like you're doing it, so what's in it for me? Can I be in the middle of this deal or whatever? Sometimes you just pass the communications off, and I've been on the receiving end of a lot of them. And it's just purely what can help me and what can help the other person. So I wanted to kind of get your advice for our listeners on like how to go about that, how to kind of remove yourself and your wants and needs from the equation, maybe some examples of how you've done that. So we'll go back to when you left your corporate job, kind of starting from scratch. How did you go about that? What were the kind of some of the things you did to the reach outs and all that kind of stuff?
It was quite a quite an adventure. I just before I go there, I want to give you my overall reason why I do this. When I was out of school, I studied East Asian studies, very helpful Japanese major, awesome. I loved it. But I didn't really want to go to Japan and work. And I knew I didn't want to go into finance, but I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And I would reach out to a lot of different people in advertising and ultimately in PR, and I would do informational interviews. And people from campaigns like I can't even imagine now. I just wrote cold letters, right? Because you didn't have email back then. I'm old. And everyone spoke to me. And I won't use the expression that I hate, but I always do it for other people, right? People did it for me, and I think it's my responsibility to do it for other people.
Right.
And I think that's where it comes from, because I learned so much, and I was so grateful to get people's time.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's what it always seems with you. It's like instinctively, it's always like, oh, I should connect you with this person. You even did it this morning. You're like, you two should connect. So I guess that's where it comes from, right?
I think so.
So yeah, we're here. We're day zero. Left corporate America after 20 years. Who were you reaching out to? How were you reaching out to them?
Yeah.
What kind of relationships had you established you had to kind of leverage and or did you have to start from scratch?
Good question. I have been fortunate to be part of a big communications group called The Seminar. And I'm sort of one of those annoying people. I've always said I'd hate myself. And in high school, I was involved in everything, like everything. And if I knew myself now, I'd sort of hate myself. I'd hate me. But I really like this organization. It's thought leadership. It's once a year. It's all the top communications people. And I was very fortunate to be introduced to it. And I sort of really liked it, got involved, and ultimately ascended to chair of it at some point. And have created a bunch of different relationships that are lifelong friends. You know, I don't know if you've had this experience, but you make friends at work and you think you're really close. And then you leave work and you never talk to them again.
Yep.
And it's fine.
Yeah.
Right. But these are people that are true, like, friends. So I had that network in my head, but also being mindful, you don't want to do that to your friends, right? You don't want to come. So Robbie and I would just call people, sort of doing informational interviews, but as a company, and saying, this is what we're doing. You know, who do you think we should talk to? Now, we did it with people we thought that we had potentially could hire us, but we laugh all the time now because when we first started, we had what we had done together, which was a lot. It looks good. We didn't have anything current. So we laugh because we probably would give a 20 minute introduction to ourselves when we first met with people.
Yeah.
I mean, absurd because we got nothing. And then we've pared it down. I think I do it in about 30 or 45 seconds at this point. Yeah. But it was just, we just talked to a lot of people. And I've heard different numbers, but it's like, you know, for every 10 you talk to or 20 you talk to, maybe one will hit a little, right? Yeah. You just have to keep talking to people. The other thing that I will tell you is to just ask, like not be afraid to reach out.
Yeah.
The only thing they can say is no, right? Okay. Yeah. Then you move on. But I've just sort of, without stalking people, the internet and LinkedIn really helps you meet the people that you want to meet. So we just talked to a lot of different people. Somebody got us into one client at a cancer organization. So that was like our first, and another friend of ours got us into a technology education company. So that was another. And then I was very fortunate. My relationships in the domestic violence sexual assault space got me recommended to people at Uber.
Uh-huh.
And then we started working with Uber. And that was a big turning point. I mean, truly, if you can say you're working with Uber, that's
nice big brand.
And that was a big turning point for us.
I mean, it really is a great example of how your net worth is your network. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, like in real estate, you've got two ways of playing it, right? You've got to find clients. But I think what gets underutilized is professional relationships. Yeah. Divorce attorneys, real estate attorneys, insurance brokers, mortgage brokers.
Yes.
People don't value the time spent or the time required it takes to go out and just have lunch with someone, talk to someone.
100%.
It's not always about the conversation being the sell. It's kind of like what you were doing. You guys were going and talking about what you were doing, but you weren't selling to that person necessarily. No. You were seeing if they could sell you to other people.
Right.
And it's just about building that awareness of yourself. And I think real estate agents in particular don't see themselves as a brand. And I think that's a mistake. You have to always go in and just represent yourself and represent your values. So you met with Uber. Did anything come from that? You know, you said you can expand because you have a bigger brand. Mm-hmm. So the business kind of took off from there.
Yeah. And we also created relationships, very lasting relationships. Yeah. So the person that we were working with at Uber left Uber and went to Match Group and took us with her.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, you know, another big way to get involved. And another big brand. And then just, you know, talk to people, had ideas. Sometimes they were people I knew that were friends of mine, but other times they were just people I talked to. And I talked. And I do like, you're right, and it sounds so weird, I do like to connect people.
Yeah.
It's just something I like to do. I get ideas of who would be good together, and it's no skin off my back, right? You know,
right.
I just introduce them. I have a friend now who's sort of in a job and but looking for something else. And I've introduced him to the most, and he's not even in communications, and I've introduced him to the most random group of people, all in comms, all at big companies, and all of whom are talking to him.
Yeah.
Right? So the other thing to your point is if you build your own brand and you gain trust from other people, then they'll, you know, they'll listen and they'll want to talk to you or want to talk to whoever you recommend. You know, it's funny because in our town, there are people, some of the real estate agents who really get it and really have built brands for themselves.
Yeah.
Very involved in the community. That's the other thing I would say, at least for real estate mm-hmm. people. Get involved in the community because so much is word of mouth. I mean,
big time,
so much. I mean, for our business too, so much of it is word of mouth. So if you can get yourself out there and known, then when people are thinking, oh, maybe I want to buy or sell, or oh, I have somebody. You know, and it depends on the relationship they've already had with their, if they didn't like their real estate agent when they bought, they might be looking for somebody else. You know, it's all very relationship. To me, it's so much relationship and word of mouth based.
Yeah. And I always talk about providing value up front, you know, especially real estate, National Association of Realtors statistics, 49% of home buyers start their search online and 73% of those buyers speak to one agent only. So your chances of being that agent are very small. So you've got to provide value up front. You know, so how many conversations would you say you have with people that were just purely to educate them on the work you're doing or the reasons that one should want to have this kind of service.
I can't even count. I can't even count. And sort of, you know, sort of wacky ones, you know, ones that are like out of nowhere. But that, you know, maybe it'll be fruitful, maybe it won't. You know, one of the things I said when we were first starting out is that I wish I could get paid for just going to different companies and talking to people, because I learned so much about other companies.
Yeah.
Right? You learn so much about how other companies are run. Look back at how we were run, think, oh, that was nice. You know, people at different flat, different organizations. So that part actually was really interesting.
Yeah.
So it's sort of the same thing. You can be applied. I mean, maybe it helps to learn, sort of talk to the real estate lawyers and the mortgage and understand a little bit more about them and their business, because that may help you. And you should refer to them and get into this mutual referral part.
Well, you know, it's funny. I think, so just full disclosure, me and Jane have been friends for about a decade now. Started off trainer-client relationship. I was a personal trainer. And I remember saying to you, it was around that time where I was having trouble selling. Like, I just couldn't get over the line. And then when I realized I should stop selling and just provide value, provide information, and then people will see the value and want to work with me. I remember actually saying that to you after our first, I think it was like the first time we met. Mm. But that really is what it comes down to. And I even when I was in real estate, even after identifying that in the fitness space, I would still, you know, you get desperate, you want to sell, you need the money. So you go into conversations always with the slight, with the angle, okay, how am I going to leverage this to make it work for me? But I think if you just go in and you're like, I'm just want to, you know, what do you need? How can I help you? And then go from there.
100%. You know, one of the things that we talk about for us, for Carp Randall, is that we don't come in telling people what they need. How do I know what you need? I don't know and there's all that, you know, it has to match your purpose and be authentic and all these other things. So I think you're right. I mean, we go in and then have lots of conversations before we come back with a recommendation.
Yeah.
And with different people in the organization. So I think your point is very well taken. You need to see where people are, right? What they need, and then match that if you can. Or refer them out if it's not you. Because they'll be grateful and they'll remember.
Yeah, I mean, and the same applies to any of our developer partners that are listening, that, you know, think about what the agents want. I think I even said this in the latest newsletters that went out. Like, think about what how your product or service can help the agent. And I think once you start doing that, you'll kind of find you'll get the fruits of your labor, so to speak.
And it's not instant. Someone told us, okay, there's two things that people told us. One is that, and it's so true, and you'll know this too, your business is sort of like an EKG, right?
Yes.
It goes like up and down. So you think about it like that, right? So when there's valleys, when there's peaks, there's always going to be valleys.
Yeah.
And when there's valleys, there's always going to be peaks. EKG. It was really good. And the other thing is, someone told me it takes about 5 years to start a business, to really get it in. And, you know, we were a little naive because we had a lot of contacts, but not so naive or not so arrogant to think we could do it immediately.
Yeah.
So it was a very interesting experience, and it's still going on, right? In terms of peaks and valleys, and you know, you sort of are constant in business development mode, but you never want to be selling. You want people to talk to you, right? You don't want to be at the point where people are like, oh crap, look who's coming down the, you know.
Yeah,
the lane.
Exactly. And that point about it taking 5 years is particularly true in real estate, because I have people that I worked with. I'm not active anymore. People I worked with that still haven't sold their house, they've been saying they're going to sell it like for 7 or 8 years now, they still haven't done it. You know, and if I'd stayed active, maybe I would have, you know, eventually would have got there.
But you are a good, I mean, I've seen you, and you are a good salesman. And the reason that you're a good salesman is because you don't sell.
Right.
Right? And that sounds so counterintuitive, but it's not. People like you, they see you're smart, you give them an idea or two, and then they're like, hey, you know, that might work, I want this guy.
Yeah.
And I think it sounds sort of counterintuitive, but it is really, it's so much now is relationship based. I mean, I think it always was. You know, you think about back to handshake contracts, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, it's all about relationships and trust and getting yourself out there, however that means. That's why the community piece is so important.
Definitely. It's funny. It's actually partly how I got this job at Showcase was I applied for a position. I didn't get it. And then about 5 or 6 months go by. In the meantime, with the CMO, I followed him on LinkedIn, I'd comment, I'd like and stuff. And again, it wasn't really so I could stay in his face, just I enjoyed the content he posted.
You were learning.
And I would engage with it. And, you know, when a new position came up that was actually better suited to me, which it is, I was in his head, and that kind of helped get the ball rolling.
100%.
So, yeah, oftentimes it really is investing in yourself and investing in your relationships. And then, like we said, your network is your net worth.
Right.
I want to switch gears a little bit.
Sure.
You are one of the best cold emailers that I know. And I'm not gonna kind of say who you reach out to, but we're talking like heads of massive billion-dollar organizations. You just seem to have this ability to get responses from and start dialogues. So what are some of the ways, like how do you engage with them? Is it often the first one, or does it take 2, 3, 4 reach outs to?
It's a good question. I'm not sure I can answer it. You know, I think I just do. It goes back to this thing that I'm trying to teach my kids, which is that they can only say no, right? Or yeah. They don't respond. I mean,
yeah.
You know, we had a, and you meet, and the other thing is that you meet them or you have a connection to them through other people. And so that helps.
Yeah.
But you know, I have found LinkedIn to be very helpful, and I don't exaggerate what I am, but you know, there was one organization recently that I was like, you know, we have this connection. I heard that you're doing this for this company, and you know, I'd love to talk to you. And they wrote right back. And, you know, this is an up-and-coming company. Look, the other thing is that I have mine your friendships, because you have friends that have a lot of connections, yeah. Right? And so I think that's the other piece, you know. And I don't mean it in a bad way, but, you know, if you have close relationships, people want to help, right?
Yeah.
And it's just about, you know, who can you... I don't know. I do have this weird connecting
thing.
Yeah,
no, you're just very like good at it.
It's just, I don't know. I like people to meet and find... fruitful yeah. relationships.
Well, a lot of it's like you said, it's instinctive, it's just natural to you, but there are it's not, I don't want to say tactics, because it sounds like you're then being kind of deliberate with what you're saying or whatever, but it, you know, I guess really you're not going in asking for something, you're going in
correct,
how, you know, how can I help you,
or correct,
what do you need, is there anything you need,
correct,
or even commending them on something that they're doing, right?
100%. But with sincerity, right?
Yeah.
With total authenticity. So yes, this connection thing is sort of an instinct for me. I think I've always done it, but I think it's an instinct for a lot of people. I mean, so take yourself out of the business world, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hear a friend who has an illness, and you know somebody who had that illness, or a doctor or whatever. What do? You connect them because you want to help. I think it's the same instinct, right? I think it's this, I want to, it's just, I don't know, it's about helping other people. And to your point earlier, and if it comes back, look, you know, not to be all, I do think things come, you know, I think, you know, things come back. There is a bit of karma, right?
Yes, for sure.
And I have always believed that, you know, if you give, you will get.
Yeah. Yeah, Gary Vaynerchuk talks about that a lot, how he often wants his relationships to be 60-40. I think I'm getting the numbers right. Or even 51-49. He never wants to be the person that's taking more than they're giving. And I think... I've kind
that's
of adopted that. And yeah. And that's the way I kind of view relationships. I always want to be giving more than I'm taking from the relationship. It's very hard being friends with you, because you're such a giver too.
No,
so
you give plenty.
It's a constant battle of giving.
It is a little
giving,
bit of that.
But, you know,
we trade off Starbucks every time.
Yeah. But I think that's it, is people just spend too much time thinking, what's in it for me? And, you know, specifically relating to real estate, like I said, when you're having conversations at open houses, or when you're sending out communications, it shouldn't be about what's in it for you. It should be what's in it for the person. How can I help you? What do you need? Maybe I'm not the right person to work with you.
Correct.
Maybe I should pass you off to this person who will be a better fit. And like you said, that will come back to you. It
100%.
Does.
People remember that. Totally. Yeah. But there are people here who've been very creative in our community. Like one person did a whole art show in a house they were trying to sell.
Yeah.
And that's how they brought people in. That's a couple of people have done that, actually.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. We live in a very creative community. A lot of artists, a lot of people who are... you know, very creative. I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
But beyond that, who want to experience local, and they play up the local angle.
Right.
I can't stress, especially for people like real estate agents, I can't stress how important that is. And I don't, you know, and I'm not in real estate. I've never been in real estate. It's just sort of common sense.
Well, I should caveat the area that Jane lives in, and I live in too, is very, 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 very saturated. The market is hot. Like this is a very hot market. We're very close to New York City, so there's always people coming out, and it just skyrockets the house prices. I had a train of thought there that I lost. Oh, I was going to talk about how, you know, a great story about this is when I bought an engagement ring, right? Went to one jeweler in over here, just tried to sell me the diamonds. I wasn't too enthralled with him. Next person I went to, I mean, helped, he was a friend of a friend, but he spent an hour just educating me on diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing about diamonds I don't know now.
Right.
But he just spent that time with me and I just trusted him, you know. And then the next time he said, you know, now you've been educated, what would you like?
Right.
What do you need?
So smart.
And then I'll come back, I'll get it for you.
So smart. Yeah. So smart.
Yeah.
But that's you know, perfect. Yeah. I know real estate agents who've just sort of popped in and said hi. And, you know, look, I've gotten so many of those cold call. And I feel bad. Like, whether it's we want to buy your car or we want to sell your house or, you know, we could get you this for your house. It's very, I mean, I assume it works that some people respond to it. But, you know, I even though you're in real estate, I'm very loyal to the person that sold me the house.
Well, and I used to tell you that too. Right. When I was active, I said, don't use me. Use the person if you value them, use them.
Right.
You know, and so many times when I was active, I would end up doing more work on a deal than the person's real estate agent because I just wanted to help my friends so much. Like, they'd always come to me. I probably didn't brand myself enough with the people I knew because they associated me with fitness too much.
Yeah.
Or music at the time. So yeah, exactly. So that they didn't think of me, and you know, I didn't really work in the areas they lived in or were looking at. But I would, I mean, they'd be sending me stuff like at 11 o'clock at night, and I'd be sending them market reports or comps like, no, you shouldn't be paying that much, put this offer in, whatever. But I just wanted to help my friends.
Well, that's just it.
Yeah.
And then again, it comes back to you. You did other stuff, but it comes back to you. I look at real estate, I think it's hard. I've said this to you before. It's a lot of weekend work.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of interpersonal, you know, establishing relationships. And, you know, if you're really just starting out, even if you're on somebody's team, you know, you still have to build your own business. I think it's a hard industry. But when people hit it, they do really well and they get, you know, a huge return.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say who the person is in my life as a family member, but they're buying a house right now and they're so, so unsatisfied or dissatisfied with the agent they're working with because they feel like all they are is a paycheck to this person.
Yeah, that's terrible.
And, you know, so while this person might be getting a very big commission right now for this sale, in the long run, it's probably not going to work out for her because mm-hmm. you're not going to get that repeat business, the referral business. It's not going to come
nope.
to you.
You can't treat people like that.
No.
You know, I do have like, you know, I have two mottos that I sort of go by. They're not anything. One is slow and steady wins the race.
Very true.
Totally believe that. And the other is just, it's the golden rule. Just treat people the way you want to be treated. People call it servant leadership, call it whatever you want, but it's treating people the way you want to be treated.
Yeah.
It's so simple. It's like, you know, you catch more flies with honey, all that stuff, because, you know, treat me with respect and I'll respect you back.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think people lose that a little bit, especially, I would imagine, you know, real estate's fast paced. You can lose people easily. You know, I think it's hard, but I think that's, you sort of have to have sort of a central.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I used to always tell people, like, what I thought was wrong with the house when we were showing it versus
that's
what
so
I thought
important.
Was good. Because, yeah, I was like, I don't want you to be making this decision thinking. And I used to watch other agents sell, like, oh, look at this open space in this bathroom. Right. And I'd be like, yeah, but look in the basement. There's watermarks all over the floor. They've clearly got a water issue.
Right.
You know, but like, and you said, people value that and they end up trusting you. So.
Well, it's like when you go to buy clothes
mm-hmm.
and someone's, and you try something on and they say, doesn't really look good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you. Don't make me buy something expensive or not expensive that looks terrible on me.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And I'm much more prone to go back to that store or see that person than I am if, you know, someone sort of feeds me a line.
And I think, you know, going back to what you said that, you know, it's very instinctive and it is hard when something is instinctive to explain how you're doing it. And like I said, I don't want to say it's a tactic because it doesn't sound like it's genuine, but I think a lot of the times people do have the right instincts, but they get in their own way. They feel scared is the wrong word. But
no, they feel awkward and intimidated to ask questions.
Yeah, and they give up too quickly.
Yes, 100%.
You know, so I think there is a lot to be said about just be creative with how you reach out to people.
Correct.
Do you have any instances where like you've been creative with what you've said to someone or anything like that?
I mean, I'm sure. You know, when I was young and first looking for a job and I thought I wanted to be in advertising, someone advised me and I created a portfolio of existing ads and I would go in and then sort of critique, not in a bad way, but like give my impressions. And that was actually, you know, a pretty creative way to do it. And someone advised me on that. What's a creative way? I don't even know. I mean, The one most recently was creative because I played up a couple of contacts that I had. And that was, I think, helpful enough to say, this person knows this people. Maybe I should, you know, reach out.
Yeah.
Your LinkedIn profile is important. Or I don't know if it is for real estate, but it is certainly in business.
Well, people are going to look you up, right? And you're always going to rank high with your LinkedIn profile. So, right.
Sure. And making sure you do post or repost or, you know, again, Paolo knows I am not a big social media person. Mm-hmm. I sort of hate it, but I do really like LinkedIn. I learned stuff. You see what other people are up to, people you know, and that helps.
Yeah.
Maybe someone you know is moving to the area. Maybe someone you know is moving out, you know, whatever it is. Yeah. I think all those things help. I will give a little shout out because it's about... Actually, today is the second... No, yesterday was the second anniversary of when we had the memorial service for my mom. Mm-hmm. I actually think I get this really in large part from my mother. My mother was a travel agent. Mm-hmm. And she was a really good travel agent. She was really detail-oriented, except for us, actually. She always screwed up all of our trips. But her kids. But she was really detail-oriented, and she's very kind, which she got from her dad. She's just a kind person.
Right.
And people, I'm not saying I am, I'm just saying she was a kind, and people liked that, right? Yeah. And they knew that she would work hard for them. So when she did a great trip, they referred somebody else to her. And, you know, this was a tough, detail-oriented, you know, finding the right flight and the right hotel.
And she would get it wrong.
Yeah.
That's your reputation.
And she would do things all the time. And I did it for somebody else, like send bottles of wine from her when people were good clients. Like really like nice touches. And I think, you know, I had somebody recently drop something off around Christmas for me. I'm not selling my house.
Right.
But, you know, sort of just come by and drop something off to say hi.
Yeah.
You know, this person I knew in real estate. And I think that's very smart.
It is. You have to strike the balance, though, because you can't do it in a way that's, you know, disingenuous.
Don't pander. Feels,
yeah. Kind, I think, is a great place for us to wrap up. But if you leave with kindness.
Yes.
If you leave with genuine feelings of compassion and wanting to help and
correct.
Empathy. I think you're always going to have a leg up and it's always going to come back to you.
I could not agree more. Again, it goes back to karma. I think, you know, if you help people, they want to help you.
Yeah.
And it just makes sense.
Yeah.
I think there's just a lot to be said. And my parting words, if you want any, just don't be afraid. Just try. You know, the only thing that happens is it doesn't work or you know, someone doesn't say no, someone says no or whatever it is, but you have to just try.
Yeah.